Bill, someone famously tweeted, and I apologize, I'm not giving any credit here. You might have it in front of you. But they asked, what are the 5 video games that changed your life?
Jeff Eisenband, by the way.
Eisenband. Shout out to Eisenband. So, Bill, what are the 5 games that changed your life?
So, yeah, I'll go through his real quick. Halo 3, Madden 2004, SSX Tricky, which I would agree with as well. Not on my list, but close. Mario Kart 64 and MVP Baseball. So mine's pretty similar. I'll start with 5. Mario Kart 64. I remember a lot of good times amongst friends playing at my house to Alice DJ. We would turn down the volume and just have a tournament there. Vice City was one of my favorite games of all time. I spent so many hours playing that game. One of the funnest games of all time. San Andreas was up there too, but I spent more time and I liked the music more in the 80s. And then 3, the original God of War got me back into those kind of games. And then my top 2 are Madden. Madden 94 is what got me into gaming. I used to beat my dad so badly that I would score.
Top block defense?
No, I would just take Randall Cunningham and run around the entire field and then score. And then I would sneak in the gap with Reggie White and instantly sack him. So I would beat him sometimes twice. He wouldn't score and like it only went up to double digits. So sometimes I beat him like 121-0.
Dude, Jesus.
And then my final game here, this one literally changed my life, the lives of many others, and brought me close to a group of friends, you know, out of nowhere. Madden 20, we have a Madden 21 league now, developed from this. I got close with some people we already knew and some people I never knew, hang out with them now. It's awesome. I brought it to my job, transformed a ton of stuff, gave you some extra work on the side
Cheers.
There. So
Cheers.
Literally a life-changing video game for me in every sense of the way.
And like I said before, I wanted to rip you on that, but how can I? You're paying me. Technically. Well, not you, but you know what I mean. For me, Bill, it was tough. You mentioned like GTA 3 was going to be on here, but I ended up taking it off. You also mentioned Mario Kart. I was going to have Diddy Kong Racing on here just because it's a superior game. But for you me, the 5 are, no, I was trust me, that's day one-ish. Me and Goo are on the right side of history on this one. Punch-Out. Ooh. Literally one of the greatest like fighting games of all time that still to this day is one of the most playable games and literally changed my life because I used to watch my dad play it and be like, I got to get that. Mario 2. Yeah, that's right. Not Mario 3. Not Mario 1. Mario 2.
Of course.
2. One of the greatest. It's an incredible game and so fun and easy to play. Zelda Ocarina of Time, the game changer of all game-changing video games. WCW versus NWO World Tour. You could think, oh, it's going to be one of the WrestleManias, but this was the game that set the precedent for those. And I remember playing the pants off of this, writing down, keeping records when I was like 11 years old when this game came out for the 64. And for me, the Madden, there is a Madden on here because I'm a huge, you know, sports gamer. NBA Jam was also close, but this one, Madden 03. If you go back and look at all the enhancements, the Tony Bruno show, the things that I used to spend literally hours on the phone with 2 of my friends on a 3-way phone call. Holding up the internet at the time and playing Madden 03 like there was nobody's business. Excellent, excellent video game right there. So I think those are good ones. Obviously, you guys can see that tweet out there. I think we retweeted it, so you can check it out. So yeah, those are the video games that changed my life. And nobody, and I mean nobody, not even you, Bill, you son of a bitch, is going to convince me that Diddy Kong Racing is not the greatest racing game of all time.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Ross. You can be followed along all social media platforms at Jason D. Ross. You can follow our little show here, this little tiny program at Pop Culture PD. No, we're not the police. We just can only fit so many categories in here. And if you hit that follow button at the Pop Culture PD, it will instantly make you jammier. And with me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along all social media platforms at BillyD2411, including a very new OnlyFans Plus page, which is currently going for $10.99, but you can get it for the low, low, low price for just $2.99 per month if you use the promo code Billy's Big D. Yes, that's Billy's Big D. That also unlocks his former OnlyFans of the bottomless camera during them Pineapple Boys, during the Psych Rewatch podcast that airs on Thursday nights. It is adult content, people. Get with it. Don't be a child. And he is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah. So it is very hot in my room, and I just did a Peloton, so I am soaking, dripping in sweat right now. So
save it for the OnlyFans.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, the cam's rolling right now, so you're gonna see some drips.
You can subscribe to this crappy ass podcast over on iTunes. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Like and subscribe over on the YouTube. We are a part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse along with Mac and Goo, the hashtag Dork Podcast, the Change My Mind Podcast, them streamers of Davey, Shime. We have the people that do books over there. They were reading them, and they talk about them. We have the Pineapple Boys, and we got Dr. Joe, the Backcracker. And you, if just a recall, just in case you're wondering, for the next week, a little over the next time you hear us after this podcast, you can help us donate $10 on behalf of you by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. We've received around 8 of them, I believe, since June 15th, go until July 15th. So thank you, and leave a 5-star review. Bill, our merch can be found at tpublic.com. You can search Pop Culture Pile Driver. Also the music by Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah. They will be releasing something soon. And again, I'll be apparently with Rossi next Saturday down at Loretta's in Boston.
Oh, that is that when we're hitting it? Is it the 17th? Mm-hmm. Oh Yeah. Can I just do that the whole time?
You can, but it's a different band. But yeah, same guy.
What's the name of it?
Co-Pilot.
Co-Pilot! Nah, we'll work on it. So that'll be going down. You want to come say hi to us? We'll do a meet and greet, Bill. If you show up there and are attractive, Bill will say hi, and I'll just say hi to anybody because it will get me out of the house. Again, with that $10 donation, by the way, I was mentioning, goes to the One Mission Buzz Off for Kids with Cancer and Frank Says Hi. Frank Says Hi is our nonprofit organization partner, which we do experiential events for kids, for those dealing with cancer. Bill, next week is the release of the most highly anticipated movie that nobody is looking forward to that was a 90s kid. Space Jam, A New Legacy with LeBron James. What's your excitement level 1 to 11 on that?
Negative 11? Really? I don't know. Like, I will never watch it unless my niece, and it has to be my youngest niece, begs me. Because the two older ones, I'll say no. Like, no, we can watch something better than that.
Bill, have you watched Luca yet?
Luca? No. Is it good? I've heard that's good.
That is a nice flick. My son doesn't sit still for literally anything. But that movie came on the other day, and he was just popped down for a good 40 minutes. That's the longest I've ever seen him. That's like dinner time, sit down. Good movie. I think that one you won't need to be begged. But yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't say I'm at a negative 11. I'm somewhere in like the 2. Same thing would happen with The Lion King. I've still never seen the remake of The Lion King.
No, Nate.
I saw Aladdin. I liked it, Aladdin, actually. I think, you know, I think maybe just because I really like Will Smith.
Well, and he did it a little differently.
Yeah. The Lion King, I have no desire. I just don't understand it.
It's the same movie minus the best song. Well, one of the best songs.
Do they have I Just Can't Wait to Be King?
No, they don't have Be Prepared.
Yeah, that's a poser song. No, but no, I get it. No, but here's the other thing. They said live action. That's not live action. Those are CGI lions. Anywho, so the Tiny Toons are back, Bill. They're going to have LeBron James. I don't know how
Looney Tunes. I wish the Tiny Toons were back. Oh, Buster God. And Babs. Kidding me?
Oh, my God. What a video game that was for
We're tiny. Sweet. We're toony. We're all a little loony.
Great freaking thing. But anyways, today we are reviewing the 1996 Space Jam. We're going to be going over our thoughts on it. We have a series of categories. And then we're also going to tell you some tidbits about this film. But, Bill, as we do, when we do, what we do, how we do, we like to take a little look back on when this movie was released. November 15th, 1996. It is time for Billy's favorite game. What the bleep was going on in the world? Dun-dun-dun-dun-bum. Anyways, Bill also released on that day, dash week. Again, November 15th was the date released. There's also some places that say the 11th, some say the 10th, whatever. The movie The Apartment.
Don't know Joe's Apartment?
No, I wish. That's definitely on the list of burner when we just need to fill a week. The movie Ransom with Mel Gibson.
Give me back my son. Right?
Nailed it. And A Summer's Tale. Sure.
Night's Tale? There's a lot of similar named movies that I actually know, but not these ones.
Bill, what was the price of gas in the United States average?
In 1996, I'm going to say 92 cents.
A little bit more than that. 140.
Oh, okay.
140. What was the number one record in the United States?
In 1996, Paperboy Diddy.
Wait, what?
I don't know. Paperboy Diddy?
You're very close, actually. Think about what you just said. Yeah, think about what you just
said. CeeLo, I wish.
No, no. What is the name of the made-up song you just said?
Diddy.
And what sounds like that?
Fitty, hitty, midi.
No, no. No diggity. No,
oh,
diggity.
No diggity. Oh, my God. You will not believe this, and I was going to save this for the end, but I saw Darius Rucker last night live.
Oh, I did see that on the IG.
And out of nowhere, he played No Diggity. I lost my freaking shit. It was amazing. I was dancing in the crowd. People at work who's never seen me dance saw me dance. They were impressed. No doubt they were impressed. It was amazing. So, yeah. And a quick, funny other story. For Christmas, yeah. My sister demanded to get the Blackstreet CD, No Diggity, and it was my aunt's job to get it. She went to Sam Goody and said, and her birthday is actually today, I need the Blackstreet CD with No Diggity on it. They bring it up, and they go, it has No Diggity on it. And she's like, no, it's supposed to have No Diggity. So she didn't get it. I swear, hand to God.
I think you've told me this story before, and I never believe it, but it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I need No Diggity. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this one has No Diggity. Oh, I need no sans diggity. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Such a mom on thing. Also, that record when I was in Ireland in 2013 was in the top 50 in Ireland. No Diggity. Took them only, 17 years to get it over there. But yeah, it was the number one record in 1996 when the movie's release. Number one, Bill, I'm not even going to have you guess because I've literally never heard of this song. The number one rock alternative song. Couple weeks before Blow Up the Outside World by Soundgarden, which you may have heard. Mm-hmm. I just got a text message. And we'll come back to it at the end of this podcast. It was called Me Wise Magic by Van Halen. Have you ever heard of that song?
No, probably one of those things where it was just Van Halen, so it was number one for a day, and then people realized it sucked.
Yeah, it must have been Van Hagar, too, which, not for me. Bill, what was the number one movie in 1996? I can tell you it is a famous, I guess you would call it a play?
Romeo and Juliet?
Romeo and Juliet, which does rival the movie we're about to talk soundtrack. Bill, WWF champion in November 1996, was about to lose this title less than 10 days away.
1996, what month was it again?
November.
November.
Before Survivor Series 96.
Before Survivor Series 96. I'm going to go with Big Daddy Cool.
You're off. This would be Shawn Michaels, The Boyhood Dream, came alive. So he lost.
I was going to say that it felt too obvious.
Yeah, Psycho Sid, that Survivor Series. And the WCW champion in 1996, November.
1996, November, Sting.
That would be Hollywood Hogan. This was He won it in the end of 1997. So, Bill, the ratings for this movie from the experts, Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel of the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune, both gave Space Jam thumbs up. Thumbs up. Todd McCarthy of Variety praised the film for its humor as Looney Tunes antics and Jordan's acting. As well as, so he really liked that. Google users, 91% like it. IMDb has a 6.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 44 critics, 63 audience. That seemed like it would be about right. Metacritic has it at a 59 out of 100. Mm-hmm. The budget for this film, Bill, was $80 million. It, in the box office, cleared $250 million.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was easy money back in the day. Michael Jordan with Looney Tunes. Everyone was going to go see this. I'm surprised it actually didn't make more.
Different times, though. Think about that was on like $6 tickets, like as the high end nowadays. Yeah. People are paying $20.
And I'm sure the production value then, like to put $80,000 into what they did, and it was pretty good. We'll get to that. But
million.
Yeah, it was good.
Here's a one-star review from, I believe this one I got from Rotten Tomatoes. It says, nostalgic? Sure. A staple of our generation? Sure. But a good film? Not exactly. Is it horrifyingly dated, poor written, bad paced, and at the end of the day, rather pointless?
I mean, he kind of nailed it. Kind of agree.
We'll get to it. 10-star review here, Bill, from the old IMDb. It says, I gave this movie 10 stars because Lola Bunny is a fox. That voice.
No, she's a bunny.
No one, that voice, no wonder Bugs is so hooked.
So, that is Bill, the creepiest fucking review we'll ever hear. Lola Bunny
is a fire. We'll get into her. Curtain Jerker, Bill, did you like Space Jam?
Kinda.
I say yes. When I rewatched this, by the way, less than 90 minutes. Love that. Yep. Digested it in three different portions because it's on the HBO Max right now, which will have the release of the new one when it comes out next week. I would say I liked it, actually. And
you know what?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll never turn away from it.
That's what I think it is. I think that's what comes across. Like, I don't know if the word endearing or like, it's just like, if I see it on TV, not that I often see it, I don't even know if it's being run on TV at all, but like, I've never once been like, oh, Space Jam, no thanks. Like, I'm not watching this. Like, it always seems to like catch me at the right time. And like, I will always watch most of it. It's not like it, most of it, like Jaws is a movie. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. If I have the time, I'm watching it.
Yeah. Shawshank. Yeah, it's just like a piece of Americana. It's nostalgia. It's Michael Jordan. It's the Looney Tunes. And in essence, you would think it's a great story. But when you break it, like, you really shouldn't be breaking down Space Jam. But, you know, we're doing that right now.
It
doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it's fun. It's entertaining. So I guess, yeah. But, like, it's, you know, like, as you watch it, like, this is ridiculous. But, like, you know what? I watched it on the plane ride home from Montana. And I was like, I kind of like this. Like, it made the time go by.
Perfect flight film. Yeah. All right, Bill, what did you think of the casting?
Wayne Knight, almost top billing. He was pretty good. I think you wanted to be super annoyed by him, and you were super annoyed by him. Michael Jordan, in my opinion, couldn't play dead. His wife, I thought for a second, I don't know who played her, but she was fine what she did. Obviously, the Looney Tunes.
Don't do this, Bill. Hold on. We got to pause. Don't do this because we have been called out. We've been chastised. That's our thing, though.
We have no idea
who people are off the top right. But I get it like 30
seconds.
You think
I should pull up an IMDb of the movie when I'm reviewing a movie?
I have it ready, but I've noticed that is the one thing. I think it's Teresa Randall. It plays his wife. But it's so funny because now it's in my head because literally every time we do this, I get the person's name eventually, but it's like 20 to 30 seconds later because that's how my brain works. It's not as fast as it used to be.
Who played Larry Bird?
Oh, that'd be Larry Bird.
Yeah. See, like most of them are just like the people. I mean, besides like a few people.
And Bill, if you're wondering, he's not white.
He's clear. He's clear.
Oh, clear. Unreal. That actually brings into me for my part of my casting. I will say Bill Murray, you already mentioned Wayne Knight and Danny DeVito were like perfect fits for those characters. Mm-hmm. Like obviously Bill Murray plays himself. I get it. But he's playing like that like animated version of like what you see in movies. Mm-hmm. Wayne Knight is just incredible. When he does the back flat bump flying
hey,
into
over
the,
to you.
Oh my god. Like you would die, by the way. If you fell into a dugout like that, you'd be in the hospital.
You'd be in the hospital. I don't think you would die.
It depends on if you hit your head. By the way, my son for the first time today did this and it scared the crap out of him. He did flew off the couch, just went running as hard as he could, went right in, hit his head. Luckily, we have this little pad where it is. I know you've been to the abode in a while, but up on the side of my couch. It was scary for a second, but then it reminded me of this movie. I told my wife, hey, Din, that's what it was like. If you were, I forget the character's name, but I'll just call him Wayne. I'll just call him the guy. Newman. Yeah. But I also love Danny DeVito as the head of the Monstars. That guy, like his voice is so like he. I'm surprised he doesn't do more voice acting, just because of how like
he's great at it. I think he's obviously he wasn't. He didn't really do too much for a while, right? I mean. Mm-hmm.
Before Always Sunny, there was like a gap, and think about it.
They had to like kind of beg him to be in there. I think his kids really liked Always Sunny, so he was like, "Sure, I'll do it for you."
Yeah, saved the show in so many ways too. Also, Bill, Patricia Heaton, and I always say this guy's name wrong, so I'm just going to say Homer Simpson, the voice of Homer Simpson, both in this movie in the basketball scene where they take the powers from Barkley and Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, it was weird to see, Deborah from Everybody Loves Raymond. That always sticks out every time you see it because it's like the first thing you ever see her in.
True. Yeah, it's weird. It was a strange thing. And like, she's not even close to a big deal. And now, not that she's the biggest actress in the world, but obviously has a lot of namesake. Up next, Bill, our category, Speak and Spell. What did you think of the acting and writing in Space?
So I thought besides like Bill Murray, Larry Bird was pretty good. The basketball players for the whole, all terrible. No. Oh. All awful. I don't know, man.
Maybe it's just something we lost our powers. Muggsy Bogues had too many speaking lines. Why are we giving Muggsy Bogues speaking lines?
Also, the adult references in this movie off the charts. Like when they did the Patrick Ewing, is there anywhere else you're not performing well? And he turns around like, no. But the only good delivered line was Michael Jordan's youngest boy when the Looney Tunes come on the TV and then they're like, town meeting. And then they run away. And he's like, where'd they go? I was like, that is the best delivered line in all of Space Jam.
All right.
Michael Jordan was terrible.
See, I completely disagree.
Oh, he was awful.
Michael Jordan has acted in one movie. This movie. He may be in, well, don't forget, he wasn't in Celtic Pride. That was Deion Sanders. Anyways, at the very end, Michael Jordan, I thought, was solid. I'm not going to say he was a great actor, but think about this. In his first movie, Bill, he's acting around
nothing. That's very true. He was acting around nothing.
His cartoons. What a literally setting somebody up for failure. And I would say for what he was set up for, unlike his 202 baseball average, he was at least batting around 300 in this.
He was, if you want to do the analogy, he was shooting 50%, but I think it was lower than that. 300 is really good.
300's, Bill, if you hit 3 out of 10, it's 300.
But in baseball terms, you make the Hall of Fame if you hit 300.
I'm still giving it to him. And for the game, for one game, all right? He went 2 for 3, or he went 3 for 5.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, I know. He went 3 for 5. He went 5 for 100. Doesn't matter. He did well in this movie for what he was given and put in a really tough situation. And again, the writing of the film is just stupid. Like, the idea of this movie is dumb, but
there's so many moments where I'm like, he's not even going to try to go back. He's just like, all right, I'm going to help out the Looney Tunes. No questions asked. Go back to my house. Don't tell my family where I am. Just go get my
fucking passport. How do they go back? He gets sucked into the world through a golf hole, like what you've been all around recently. And everyone, he's just like, yeah, I'm here now. Oh, you need to go get my stuff. And they just know where he lives. And also, I know this is weird, and I think you've seen this pointed out if you watch any reviews. Do you see where he lived? It was just on any street in America. Yeah, this is Michael freaking Jordan.
He was one of the first guys to have the heated driveway.
The dude had a sneaker named after him before he even was drafted. Like,
the most famous sneaker of all time.
Yeah, and think about it, this was 12 years into the run. Well, technically, if the movie takes place, let's say, in 95, before he officially came back. Like, dude, that is, like, this man has billions of dollars. Maybe that's extreme, but he has a lot of money.
Oh, no, I think Jay-Z might have been the first black billionaire, but I'm assuming Michael Jordan, who's actually a coworker of mine, is probably worth in the neighborhood of like $700 million, if not.
Dude, seriously. But I'm just saying, at this time, he literally looks like he lives somewhere in the town area. It's like a Melrose, where you're just on like the main drag.
$1.6 billion. That's what he's worth.
Woo! So back in 96, let's just extrapolate or distrapolate that a little bit. So he's probably right about a billionaire around there, give or take. This movie only helped.
He was making his NBA salary was not much. It was only $30 million in 97.
But in 97, $30 million then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the year, but it says 96. Like, I'm assuming that's his baseball salary was like.
No, he was back in basketball. He was back in basketball in 96.
Well, you're all right.
Yeah, he came back in 95. He was gone for like 2 years-ish after, a whole nother story. But, Bill, here's the big one. Hit My Music. How did they use music here in Space Jam?
Phenomenally. Fun. I would say it's better than Romeo and Juliet. I mean, just from the very beginning, the opening song throughout. I mean, even the use of, y'all ready for this? Bam, 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 bam.
Don't you kind of feel like I Believe I Can Fly to start the movie is a little odd?
No, because it's like that almost like, I always say, I get worked up by a good national anthem. That got me a little bit emotional there. Like, I liked the back and forth between him and his dad.
Yeah,
that was a really nice moment. And it was like, okay. And that's like setting up the dream. And then you get that incredibly cut montage to If You Wanna Slam Jam. Phenomenal song.
It's called Space Jam.
Yeah, it's called Space Jam. So, Basketball Jones, everything about this soundtrack thumps. It is one of the – it's a phenomenal – it just doesn't get much better. I mean, I hit him high. And the thing is, like, you don't get the full cuts of that in the movie. Like, the LL Cool J verse in this, like, lightning strikes the court, the court lights get dim, supreme competition is about to begin above the rim. Like, it's amazing, the soundtrack on its own, but used in the movie is fantastic.
Yeah, I completely agree. I said it's arguably – I believe it's arguably one of the best, most iconic soundtracks and use of music in a film for the decade. All of the above. I think literally for a certain age group, it's for kids. Adults can watch. Michael Jordan pulled in like that median crowd. Obviously, you have the Looney Tunes. It's just like every song hits. Here's the soundtrack, which, by the way, won.
Fly Like an Eagle?
Won the Grammy, by the way. For best song in a motion picture was R. Kelly's I Believe I Can Fly. Here's the soundtrack. For You, I Will, Monica. which, by the way, if you look at the album art, it's just Monica looking off all beautiful with just a big Space Jam logo on it. Then we have I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly, Space Jam by the Quad City DJs represent, Hit 'Em High, as you mentioned, an array of artists, including Busta Rhymes, Be Real, Coolio, Method Man, LL Cool J, Fly Like an Eagle by Seal. This is where Seal covered it.
What a song. What a song.
I Turn to You by All for One. Like, those were the singles. That's not even the whole soundtrack. Those were the singles Bell released.
Well, yeah, also had Basketball Jones, which has a really great opening by Chris Rock, I think adds a little penny and maybe the music video. And then, my song growing up, I love this song, is Who Says the Bunny Can't Jam? You're Buggin'. If y'all don't know who I am, you're buggin'. If Bugs Ain't the Coolest in the Land, you're buggin'. Like, phenomenal song. It might be in the end credits. I don't think I made it all the way to the end of the end credits, but it's phenomenal. Fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely home run.
Yeah, Spin Doctors are in here with Biz Markie with That's the Way I Like It, that version that they did. Basketball Jones, you mentioned Barry White and Chris Rock. Like, what are we doing? Unbelievable. Upside Down by Upside Down, Round and Round, that 60s song. Mm-hmm. Salt and Pepper covering that one. D'Angelo, I Find My Smile Again. You mentioned Space Jam, The Winner by Coolio. And then they also had Fly Like an Eagle by Steve Miller, which, again, was covered also by Seal on the same soundtrack. What a soundtrack. What a great time. Having the Spin Doctors, Biz Markie, and Bugs Bunny, Chris Rock, and Salt and Pepper on the same soundtrack. Who would have thunk? 90s, man. 90s. But yeah, best song with I Believe I Can Fly. All right, act it out, Bill. For me, every time I see this movie, there's one part that always gets me. It's when every Looney Tune is knocked out of the game, and I don't know how this happens. They're Looney Tunes. Somehow they bounce back from getting anvils on their head, but during a basketball game, they're injured. So it's like the NBA. And out of nowhere, they need a fill-in, and Bill Murray shows up with a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then you just have Danny DeVito's character turn and say, I don't know Dan Aykroyd was in this film.
Phenomenal.
Bill, as an 11-year-old, I remember because of Ghostbusters, I knew the name. They were like the Beatles. Let's be honest. When we were kids, Ghostbusters actors were the Beatles. And I hysterically laugh at that scene every time because it's just some stupid inside joke. Was not written. Danny DeVito came up with it. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Just under the whole scene.
I think a lot of Bill Murray's stuff. I think a lot of his stuff was probably ad-lib too, like when he's even like, all right, wings and paws in on three. Like, I guarantee you that was not written and he just ad-libbed that. Because the way the movie was written, that was too good for anything that had been written previously. And it was just him adding that in. Same thing with the Larry Bird. He's not white. He's clear.
I think that's 100. I was going to say Bill Murray, really, he's like we talk about. We have to come up with a name. The character there from Stranger Things season 3, whatever that girl's name was in that one scene. The girlfriend, when they're singing Never Ending Story. We need it. That's going to be a new shtick here for us because when people just eat the screen, Bill Murray devours the screen like Billy eating the Shake Shack before this podcast.
Absolutely. Like, 2 minutes, not even.
Billy eating a Papa John's pizza in a Lens Crafters break room. 6 minutes.
And a half a sub.
I'm sorry. How dare I forget the half a sub, you absolute monster. Joey Chestnut, eat your heart out. But Bill Murray just devours the screen when he's on there. That scene. And then they go, all right, what's the game plan, guys? And they're like, we're on defense. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't play defense.
Great stuff. Bill Murray's incredible. He really, I don't want to say in any way he saves the movie, but I think he also gives what you were saying. If you don't like the acting of a Michael Jordan, you think it kind of sucks. Like, he kind of overshadows it in the scenes he's in with him.
Oh, yeah. And there was another one, too, when he's driving away with Larry. And he's just like, I'm going to put us down for two. We were in no condition to putt right there. Just fantastic. Mine that I picked up on today. And I love the delivery of it. It's quick. It was just Wayne Knight going, I may not be tall, but I'm slow. And it was the simplest thing. And it wasn't even it was just a throwaway line that I chuckled at on the plane for a minute.
Oh, it's great. That's when he's getting introduced to the game. And then he gets pancaked.
He scores a bucket, though. Big bucket.
He does, but Tiny Dickie Daffy, Bill. Oh, no. It was throat slashed.
I think it was Shirley Craftsworth Shane or something. Pancaked by Dump Truck Driver.
Duke the Jumpster Drove's Hey. All right, Bill. Legacy. What is the most memorable thing from this movie?
I would say it is the Jordan dunk. Because that kind of lives on in infamy. Oh, you know what? Actually, screw that. It's the Michael's secret stuff.
Oh, okay.
I would say that's it, because like a few of my friends still have the water bottles to this day. You see it mimicked on the sidelines. I think Chris Paul and Devin Booker were doing a little something like that in NBA Finals Game 1. I think it's Michael's secret stuff. I think that is, for me, the thing that, like, if I like were to think of this movie off the top of my head, that and the jerseys, the Toon Squad jerseys.
That's where I thought you were going to go. I really thought that's where your spot was. Good call. You know what's funny? You said the dunk. So I have the MJ stretch at the end of the game, because I remember so many people being like, oh, if I could only Michael Jordan this. I still say it sometimes to this day. Like, if I could only, like, obviously you could say go Gadget. But here's the thing about that. It's not really a dunk. He kind of shoots it. Kind of shoots it there at the end.
It's like some of those Blake Griffin dunks back in the day when he was dunking.
Oh, yeah. Just, like, he's just like his body. It almost doesn't even look real. Like, his core is like going the like opposite way of the ball going into the hoop. Like, his body's like contorted, looking like Gumby. But for me, I still think the most memorable thing from this movie, the MJ one, while say for a scene, but it's the music.
The music
literally is, because this thing you could put on, like, Pump Up the Jam right now. People are gonna think of Space Jam. You could put on Space Jam. You could put on half of these songs, and you're just immediately gonna go, oh man, Space Jam.
Like, especially Space Jam.
The song Space Jam reminds you of the movie Space Jam. But yeah, I just think like the music will always kind of live in infamy. But I think the jersey from you is such a great call. And the secret water, whatever the crap was. It was so funny, because that, like, literally over time, I remember playing like T-ball that next year, or baseball that next year, and always saying like, no, man, this is the stuff. And whoever, like Ken Griffey Jr. but water. Or something.
I mean, the Monstar song, the Hit 'Em High one, LL Cool J, the first person ever, by the way, I heard call himself the GOAT, or anyone refer to that as the greatest of all time. I don't know if that, like, I think that's the first time. Go back and listen to his verse in that. Phenomenal verse. Fantastic.
What a call. Look at that. It's Bill getting some knowledge on you. All right, Bill. Then, now, forever. Will this movie stand the test of time?
It's such a tough answer, because it's yes and no. Right? Because you'll, like, I will show this to my kid one day, probably. I mean, yeah. Lord willing that I have one. Or already have one, but it is good enough to be remembered for all time. And LeBron James, I mean, I'd have to be recommended a million times over. And just the commercial, the premise, the trailers that I've seen, it's not going to be better. There's no way it can be better.
It's just for this next generation. I get the idea of what they're going for, but like a chunky, I need to know what its deal is before I start like saying like, oh, it could be great. It could be. But I just don't feel like it will be to us because of what we've experienced in life.
I do think LeBron James is a pretty good actor. He was great in Trainwreck.
He was awesome in Trainwreck. I completely agree with you. I think he's not going to be the issue. I think it's going to be the story. And I just think it's like, this is what, 25 years later? Like, this is, it's a major difference in a lot of people's lives. Like, us from 25 years ago, we're you know, in elementary school, 25 mm-hmm. years. Now it's like, I don't know if we're going to have that same vibe for it.
Yeah, I never saw it, but the Kyrie Uncle Drew movie I heard was very good.
Yeah, I was all about going to see that. And, you know, I didn't when the original run when he first came to Celtics. Now I just don't like Kyrie Irving, who, by the way, is in this new Space Jam movie. Do you know who the athletes are in the new Space Jam?
No.
Oh, well, I can tell you about that in a second. For me, Bill, I said the same similar thing with the then now for Willith, you know, hold up. I said yes and no. I think it will, for the fact that, like, visually, it kind of reminds me of Jurassic Park in a sense. Like, when you watch it, it doesn't look like it's out of date. It doesn't look like super old. You don't go, wow, this is weird. Like, actually, like, Michael Jordan, like, with the Looney Tunes around him, it's like pretty impressive, actually.
I think it's really good, especially when it's distance. Like, when he does the handshake with the Danny DeVito character from Moron Mountain, like, that looks perfect. When it's up close, when he has, like, Tweety Bird on his shoulder, you can kind of see the cracks and the flaws of the stuff. But when he's just in the world and kind of a wide shot, it looks really good, especially for the time.
I agree. That's what reminds me a lot. Like, it reminds me a lot of Jurassic Park in that sense. Like, yeah, you can kind of see things if you really try to nitpick it. But for the most part, it looks good. And like I said, it was the first movie to use the 360 green screen. Mm-hmm. So before that, it was just the flat green screen, mm-hmm. which is kind of wild to think in 1996. Yeah, for the new one, Bill, it is Anthony Davis, Diana Taurasi, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, and then there's a bunch of, like, guest stars. But I think those are, like, the – I don't know if they're called monsters in this movie, but those are, like, the athletes they mimic. And there's another WNBA player as well. So the pull apart, Bill, any other things or extra thoughts or from this movie?
I did really like the guys they got, like Barkley, Grandmama, Muggsy Bogues, Sean Bradley, Patrick Ewing. They all stunk, as actors, but I did like it. I also liked, going to the Lakers and seeing all the old Lakers there.
It was a bad Lakers team.
Yeah, but who was the
Eddie Jones.
We're terrible at names. I should look this up.
This one I literally don't know. I can't remember.
It was nice to see all the old basketball players. I always loved Grandmama growing up. I thought that was one of the coolest promotions as a kid. Muggsy Bogues was cool because he was tiny. So I really like that. And the thing, like, it's kind of spinning off this a little bit. Like, I feel you shouldn't feel bad for LeBron James ever. Like, oh, whatever. He's rich. He's successful. You know, championships. Anthem. But, like, I do think he gets a little bit of an unfair rap. Like, I think he does. He's not, like, he's like, annoying, and he's stuck up, and, like, but, he opened a school. You know, he's never really done anything wrong.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
And the whole super team thing, I think, is super overrated because I'm not saying, like, the best GMs in today's basketball are the players. So, like, can you really fault him for just going to, like, get the best players? Like, people want to act like he won on dominant teams. Like, fucking Larry Bird won championships with some of the greatest players of all time. Like, another GM did it for him, but, like, he won.
Drafted by the Celtics.
No, there was a few trades in there.
Of course, some trades, but overall, like, that team was built. This is a different conversation.
I feel like
LeBron chose to do it. Like, he was the guy. He's the man, the best player in the league, and he chose to leave to put together this thing. I think that was the issue.
That's the NBA you live in right now.
And that's why a lot of people have issues with the NBA, I think. But either way, we'll see how LeBron pulls it off. But for me, some of the other things, just to note, this movie, Bill, this whole movie was created all around in 1990, I think it was three, advertisement for the Air Jordans where Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny were in a commercial together. That's what this all stemmed from. That's where the whole movie concept came from. I think it's David Pinkna, I think, who's a part of the production of this movie, came out. I'm sorry, Joe Pinkna. He created this film, wrote it, wanted it to be produced in 1993. Michael Jordan then retires, says he wants nothing to do with the film because he didn't want to make a film about being an NBA player while he was being... What are the two famous words that Michael Jordan said? Do you recall?
No.
No, it wasn't no. He said, I'm back. And then he was back. When he said, I'm back, he came back. I think it was against the Pacers. There's like a 19-point score game, whatever, all in the last dance. But he, in that moment, then went back and said, I'm into this movie. He wanted the whole movie to be made around his return to basketball.
And they did a great job. Like, we didn't even really address at all the baseball part of it. They did a great job poking fun at his baseball. And you know what? Forget it. Like, I meant to write this down, but I didn't have anything on the plane.
The cool part. This is the best part.
But oh my God, when he's playing baseball and they're talking about him, he looks good in that uniform. Can't teach that.
That's a good strikeout right there. When I strike out, I look real bad. Terrible. Yeah.
Like, he wears the hell out of that uniform, though. You can't teach that. I love that.
In the catcher, allegedly that's a true story. Like, there was catchers telling him, like, hey, man, don't swing at this. Don't swing. And then he swings like, I told you not to. But, hey, man, good catching up with you. Like, the players, because he was playing minor league baseball. He's playing in cities and towns that, are not used to the megastars of especially Jordan's caliber ever probably driving through their towns. Are you kidding me? This was like such an insane thing. And we were obviously too young to really understand it or be following it. And sports media was a lot different at the time. I remember reading Sports Illustrated articles, ESPN in those days would cover it. But like, you can't imagine just continuing with this, like LeBron James, imagine like it would have been like 3 years ago, like 3 years ago playing in minor league baseball.
Yeah. Like, crazy.
It just wouldn't happen.
Small Malden connection. I forget the guy's name because I'm good with names, but apparently the greatest baseball player to come out of Malden was basically screwed over by Michael Jordan because he was like the number one star center fielder and Michael Jordan just took his job.
Ah, boohoo. If you were good enough, you would have made it. Exactly. He probably, but that is still kind of sick. They took their gerbs. Bill, before we give a rating, for the four Looney Tunes, so go back to the movie, who would you have started with Michael Jordan for the four?
Definitely not Bugs. It Babs? Yeah.
Yeah, Babs is in there. Lola
Bunny. Yeah.
That voice.
Elmer Fudd had a nice dunk. He looked like he could ball. Kind of looks like Alex Caruso. I remember that one. He kind of looks like a real life version of Alex Caruso. So yep. I'm into him. So there's two. And then you need a big body. So I'm going Foghorn Leghorn.
Nice.
Because yeah, Foghorn needs Leghorn. I need one more, right?
Yep.
I'm probably going to go with the Roadrunner just for a pure speed play.
Absolutely agree. That one's absolutely – you got to keep Bugs in there because he's just a dude. I like him because he kind of did everything. I'll keep Lola in there because she literally is a fox bill. But by the real quick, was it kind of weird that they made like a sexy bunny?
There was so many times where I was like, one, people were shot, killed. Like the amount of actual violence, like over the top, that's more – like normally in Looney Tunes, like there's not a hole blown through the middle of friggin' Sylvester.
No, cat.
Like that's crazy. There was so many like times people were getting just shot. And like there were a few very inappropriate Bugs things where the first time he sees Lola, he just goes stiff and falls. Yes. Like, what are we doing?
Well, that's innuendo based at least.
Yeah. Well, innuendo, but yeah.
Oh, great. But yeah, Farquhar and Leghorn, by the way, the tallest Looney Tunes. So you gotta get him in there. So I basically would have very similar to you. I definitely Roadrunner for the speed. I'm keeping Lola in there because you know these people go goo gaga for her. I get the worm with the eyes and the boners. Foghorn Leghorn and I'm going still get putting Bugs in there though. And they started Taz, which I always find kind of funny. Taz, but that's like such a good move, the Tasmanian Devil, because
he's speed too though. He's speed.
And he's aggressive. Those Monstars, dude, they had some of the best NBA player skills in the game.
The Tasmanian Devil though, growing up, him and Marvin the Martian were bar none my favorite.
I was a huge Marvin the Martian fan just because of t-shirts. Tasmanian Devil was all over the gear too, but I wasn't the biggest Looney Tunes fan when I was a kid, but I obviously watched a lot of them. But like, yeah, I could care less about most of the characters. It was like Bugs and obviously Daffy. Like Daffy's hilarious.
But so I think the Tasmanian Devil had a show for a while that I was into, and then I was more a Tiny Toon kid. That was like right in our wheelhouse. It was like after Animaniacs, like right in that sweet spot of like the WB at like 3.
Yes, like that post after school time. Mm-hmm. All right, Bill, 1 out of 11, rate Space Jam 1996.
5.5.
Oh, wow. You're very giving with your ratings and as a lover, as I've been told. But you, 5.5.
It was like, it's enjoyable. It's not a great movie. It's a 50 for us, so that's not great. But it's good to the point where I'm never going to be like, you're never going to be like, I won't watch Space Jam. If it's on in a room, you're going to be like, change this.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't mind watching it today, and I won't mind watching it again in like a year.
I went with the famous store. I gave it a 7 out of 11. Ooh. I liked it a little bit more than you did. So collectively, we basically give it like a 6.25, if you will, out of 11. That are BR ratings for this one, our review of Space Jam. Let us know what you would give it out of 11. Let us know your thoughts on all the stupid things we said about this movie. But any last words about Space Jam, Bill?
Not really.
Shared Gooniverse.
Alrighty then. So this week in the Dork Shared Gooniverse, the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse, Dork, speaking of, did seasons 1 of 2 of Dark Side of the Ring. And I got to tell you, as a wrestling fan, I have not seen like any of these.
Yeah, they're really good. I didn't listen to this pod yet, and I meant to send Keith my ratings of this. I don't know if they covered season 3. I know they say 1 and 2, but the third season just happened, and I don't know if they covered that because I'm assuming they did, and they didn't realize it was season 3, but maybe I could be
wrong. I don't think they did because I don't think Davey saw most of – one of them didn't see most of 3 yet.
Okay, so maybe it was Keith actually because you have to – it's only on Vice, which – I don't – maybe I'm wrong. But either way, I'm going to listen to that. The first season is kind of trash. There's some good episodes, but the people they have – like the season 3 was the best for like the people.
It's all about the interviewees. It's all about the people you get.
So like, for example, for those that are wrestling fans, some of us probably still stumble along, you know, big wrestling guys here. Like they had Scott Hall as a major part of the Montreal Screwjob episode, which to me I'm like minor character. And he like made up this thing where he's like – he still thinks it's a work and he does the whole thing. I just think he was like gimmicked. Like he was a gimmick for it. Where like I wanted, like if they were going to have guys on there, one, if you could have, you'd get Brett and Sean, which at the time I don't think either were contracted. Well, Sean was, but WWE. And then, which Brett's on there. But like you want guys like I think Bischoff's on there, but like I would have loved to have like Mick Foley's and a couple other guys that, you know, a little closer to the story, you know, the story that Mick Foley quit the next day almost. And then the same thing with like Macho Man, Miss Elizabeth. They had some kind of, you know, you had Hulk Hogan's ex-wife on there, which was good. But, like, it just – the first season was a little bit of a mess. Second season was really good. That's the one that Owen Hart, the – also had the Chris Benoit one, which is maybe the most polarizing two special. Like, because he's villainized in so many ways. And then you have his son and his – what his wife – sorry, Chris Benoit's sister-in-law on there, like – it's just wild to see. It's amazing.
I mean, he legit just he's an insane person. Like he had the story behind him is nuts.
It's yes, and like some people still don't believe he did. It's great. The Chavo Guerrero side of things, the text messages. Just if you don't like wrestling, like I'm a big Doc fan. I like to watch watch this stuff. It is compelling television. It's on the Vice Network.
What else? Okay, so then otherwise, I'm really behind. Mac and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. There was talk of doing a Michael Keaton one, but they went with Aliens. CMC did the review of The Patriot. What is that?
It's a movie with Mel Gibson.
Okay, wow. Throwing it back. Oh, so this must have been a 4th of July classic.
Correct. He did the American
TLDR talked books. I've heard it both ways. We'll be going tomorrow, slightly early at 8 o'clock. Get Help, a Loki podcast, reviewed episode 5, which I have yet to see, but excited too. And then all of the streamers, go check them out. Shime Time, Arvon D, and my guy, Dr. Joe.
Just to be a producer, Bill. In radio. Can't even get my segments right. Can't even hit buttons. That's what happened. Right. That's what I was going to get paid. By the way, 2 years ago, I left the old
dumpster fire.
Sure. Maybe I'll start a 3-part series of me revealing stuff. That'll get people to tune in. So I'm telling you all the dirty secrets that used to happen there and make up stuff and sensationalize myself and not make money for it.
The EI dump.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll tell you some stuff. Bill, what have you been watching? I assume we both watch one thing to the same thing. Mm-hmm. Let me just quickly say this. Fear Street 1994. I don't know if you'd like it. I will just say it's an Arnold Stein.
All right. It's a more adult though.
Very more. It's very much more Scream. But again, I don't know what it is with horror movies where they feel like they have to like check all the boxes. I actually think overall I like this movie more than I don't, but there's just some things in it that I'm like, this is so dumb. And the music that plays in the movie is great because I would say it takes place in 94 or 90. Yeah. And or 96. I can't remember the name of the movie, but either way, the movie, like, I think you'd like it. The opening scene's by far the best scene in the movie. So just watch that. Very Scream-esque, but like also like hits all the tropes. It's a balancing act for me. And I love movies like this, but I do recommend it for people who want to check it out on Netflix. Also, Bill, on Netflix is...
I Think You Should Leave season 2. Goo and I have started That's a Chunky merch store. I should have mentioned that in the beginning with merch too. So go check that out. But have you watched all of it?
I've watched all of it twice.
Okay, I've watched all of it once. I also watched that on the plane for our ride. So, good.
Watch it again, and I guarantee you'll feel a lot better about it. Here's the thing that's very strange. They cut, like, all the skits end without a punch. It's just kind of like, it's over. And it's a little, like, the first one always felt like there was some sort of, or, like, they did a great, like, segue with, like a hi-hat, put in, tss, and then, like, you segue off. This one literally just, like, in the middle of it, and it's over. And I'm like, I don't know if that's funny, or if that's meant to be funny, or if they're just trying something different people. I will just say you can tell they made more money. Because they were given much more money with the way some of the ones were filmed like movies in the first one. This almost exclusively, all of them were filmed with the full
9 yards. Yes. But I will say the new printer girl, the two things that I saw her in, fantastic, the home run.
You have to, after this, Google, it's Patty Harrington, I believe is her name, and you have to Google her with Dua Lipa and watch the stand-up that she did. It is Patty Harrison. I'm so sorry, Patty. I know you're listening. She's great in it. The Shark Tank one.
I love that. I was hoping there would be a Shark Tank skit.
That's what I thought it was going to lead to. Because
a lot of them had a lot of carryover.
Yeah, they bounce back to it. And I love that. And I think now we spoke about it. If you didn't listen to our season 1 review, which we did before recording this one, so you could check it back. It was like episode 116, 115, should I say. I kind of like that they didn't do anything from the first season.
You know what? Now that I would have liked Baby of the Year Part 2 instead of
Bill, you kind of got it.
You kind of got it, but I would have preferred that. But I'm sure that'll be one of the ones I enjoy more as I watch it more, the Buff Boys.
Yep, I'm going to give you the one right now that I think is going to grow in all of us. I don't know what you call the skits because there's no official names. I'm just going to call the I Stole Your Burger or Coach Whatever. The one where, you know,
I already liked it.
I think that's going to be the hot dog of this one. Like 2 years when we decide to review it, I think that's going to be the one that like there's so many elements to it.
Say you're going to kill the president.
Yeah. And then he goes, "Why? I'm not going to say I'm going to kill the president." Oh, wait, say that again. He goes, "Why would you want to film me? Because I didn't pull it up fast enough."
Oh, it was good. It was like that one I laughed at right away because I could tell that one had potential. But honestly, the other thing that I think I noticed, I would love to like get inside the mind of all of the writers in the show because they all had to work in like terrible office jobs. Like, and we all do to a certain degree, but that's almost all of the skits are based around like office. Like the one that I loved was the hold the door one with like the guy yelling about the
calico pants. The calico pants. I've watched that one 3 times specifically because the first time I didn't laugh for like a while. The second time you pick up, like, this is what happens with sketch comedy, right? When he screams, "Hold that door!" And he moves so slowly. That's what's hilarious about it. And then
and you're waiting for the third hold the door and it never comes.
Well, that's the other part. And then the way he leaves in the red door, you smacked my cup. If you haven't watched it, if you like, again, I don't know out of this one yet where I would like point people like, "Oh, what's the one sketch?" It's too early, and it's too early to judge it in general. I love what Dork's doing, like giving it 2 more weeks. Then they're going to review it, so I look forward to that podcast by those guys because officially they're the only people that can speak about anything, as we've been told by one person. But we appreciate that person.
What
we got tweeted by a person basically.
Oh yeah.
To blow chunks. I do every day, my friend. But yeah, I just think overall, like I'm looking forward to like the development of my mind with this episode because everyone is kind of unanimous. The first episode's bangers. Like
I kind of do want to rank and like see what changes though.
I agree. That's why I like so fourth wall. Like we're already some people are posting their like first view, second view. You're like, I'm gonna do that in the next like 24 hours because I want to see what I think today and then come back. I did that with MCU. Like my rankings changed after the second viewing of all the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some definitely would. I would. I actually, every time I see the first Avenger, I like it a little more.
Captain Marvel? America?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great movie. That's why. Because it's great storytelling. Great right off the bat. But yeah, I just think if you like comedy, if you're looking for something that's like 15 minutes long, too, if you don't even love it, like it flies by. Mm-hmm. You can bang all the episodes out in the amount of time you're listening to this podcast. So again, if you are listening to this podcast, which clearly you are because you're hearing our voices. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. So one other thing. I might move to Montana.
Oh.
Big Sky was – I went to Big Sky for work for the match. And I got to tell you, it is one of the more beautiful places I've ever seen in my entire life. Just 360 mountains all around you. I will say the one thing is I would move 25 feet and be out of breath because you're so high up in elevation. But
Did it affect you? Did you get – did it hit you?
We went to the driving range and the balls traveled way further. It did affect me though. Like I was like winded walking. And not that I'm in shape, but like I shouldn't do that. And then we went to the Yellowstone Club, which I didn't even know. And when I tell you, like I peaked as a human, there's no other time in my life that I will be able to go there. It is like super, super duper exclusive. Hootie played a show. Darius Rucker played a show for like maybe 400 people.
That's incredible. That right there, that's stuff. I love that.
And we looked it up. Like, you have to buy a $5 million home minimum in this, like, little town. That it's like in a movie. We drove 25 minutes of winding roads to get to, like, this town. Like, this self-contained town of, like, just, you know, Tom Brady lives there. Like, they all have, like, Ben and, like Giselle. They all have freaking houses there. And we got sent to the barn, which wasn't a barn. It was just, like, a beautiful concert hall. It was a different type of like stratosphere. It was like we felt so out of place. Like I felt like people could smell the porn on me. It was crazy.
But wasn't there a bunch of people like that in town just for that?
Yeah, but it was like it was only people who went to the match who were like either like you were either in TV or you were a billionaire. Like that's it. And like you could tell like the TV people.
You sure it wasn't both like yourself?
No.
All right, so Bill's moving to Montana. Well, the podcast has been, we haven't been in the same room in a long time, so that's fine. We'll be fine. Podcast will not be affected. So don't worry, everybody. Don't go running away just yet to go listen to Change My Mind. You still have us. Bill, this was a good one. This was fun. Space Jam, again, I think everyone should go check it out again. Let us know your thoughts, what you would rank it. If you like it, if you watch it again, and will you be watching the new one with LeBron, which me and Bill will not be. Mm-hmm. But what we will be doing, Bill, next week is the episode you've been looking forward to the most. We're going to turn to our pop culture pile driver advisory board. Yeah, it's a thing now. We will be. But we're going to do the top 11 baseball movies, as next week is the All-Star Game in 2021. You going to that, Bill? You have to film that? You going to ruin any more trips?
No, I will not do that one. But I didn't even know they still were playing baseball. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, Vlad Guerrero and Tatis are kind of getting me back a little bit.
Good. Next week, that's one thing we're going to discuss. The face of baseball. Is there one? Who cares? I think there is as well, but it was just a funny argument that I heard at the gym today. But yeah, we'll talk about all that. So the top 11 baseball movies, you can drop some of those at the Pop Culture PD. Some of your favorites you can rank. Give us your top 15. You can be part of the advisory board. We'll probably put out a tweet. Just going to be an email thing, just so we get some more people into it. We could see, you know, base some more rankings around it. But yeah, Bill, that'll do it for us. He can be found at BillyD2411. I am at Jason D. Rossi. This whole show is at Pop Culture PD. We will catch you all back here next time. Be good. Be well. Treat each other kindly. Drink some tons and tons of water. It's hot out there. It is the hazy days of summer. And Frank says hi.